Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Nir Shapira, Business Development Director at SIVA Mobile Broadband Business Unit. Nir has been in the communication industry for more than 25 years. He has made significant contributions to the standardizations, notably 802.11, and has dozens of patents in the field of communications. Welcome to the podcast, Nir.
Thank you, Dan. Happy to get a chance to be here.
First, can you tell me how you got started in the semiconductor industry and what brought you to SIVA?
Well, it was a long journey to reach here in SIVA. I graduated back in 1992, coming mainly from a background of communications and information theory. Actually, I started doing algorithms, which was a passion of mine. Back then, you know, just before the rise of the internet, the main communication technology was voice-based modems over the PSTN, the good old public switch telephone network. I remember the first modem I developed was the B32, which achieved a phenomenal 9.6 kilobits per second. And now we're pumping more than 10 gigabits over a single 5G carrier, which is the modest increase by a factor of 1 million. And I think by no coincidence, it is more or less the increase factor in semiconductors transistor density. So you can say that Moore's law pretty much applies to communications as well. And after that, along the way, I moved on to develop DSL and then moved on to wireless, where I developed state-of-the-art Wi-Fi access point chipsets. That was during my time in Celeno, where I was both CTO and in charge of the mixed signal chip development. Afterwards, I was CTO with Billiot. This is a promising unicorn startup doing batteryless Bluetooth. And then about 3 to 4 years ago, I felt I needed a change after more than 25 years in technical positions. So that's when I joined SIVA and took on a position of business development, mainly for our 5G cellular business and doing company strategy in general.
Wow, that's a great story, great background. So let's talk about the trends and pain points in 5G RAN baseband architectures.
Okay, so, you know, with 5G RAN, one of the main challenges is this enormous compute requirement you need to process 5G signals. In particular, with the proliferation of massive MIMO systems, these are systems having 32, 64, or even more antenna elements. So now, you know, the physical layer compute requirements have significantly increased from the days where a typical system would have maybe like 2 to 4 antennas. So you can actually, you cannot really do that efficiently with off-the-shelf components like FPGAs or CPUs. And when I say efficiently, I mean both in terms of silicon cost and power consumption. So this is why major players in this field usually develop their own custom ASICs. And you know that the RAN market today is almost fully controlled by 5 tier one players. That's namely Ericsson, Nokia, Huawei, ZTE, and Samsung. So these guys develop their own ASICs. And these ASICs get to be more and more complex. So there is challenge in developing these ASICs, and there is another challenge for the other players, the smaller players. So we see more players joining the race with the introduction of Open RAN and opening up the network. So if, you know, till now it was the case that the big tier one players, they provided proprietary end-to-end RAN systems from the antenna to the core. And when I say RAN, I mean radio access network. Okay, that's the acronym. So till now, these big players, they provided everything end to end. But by being able to standardize the interface between the network components, And in particular, this a frontal interface between the radio unit and the baseband unit. So now other players can aim to offer, you know, a subset of the network. So and they can hope to be able to interoperate with each other. So there is abundance of new players, but they don't have their own ASICs, and they are kind of small. So it's a very challenging for them to develop this. So today they rely on costly and inefficient, you know, off-the-shelf components. And they are very much motivated to develop their own ASIC. So that's where SIVA comes in, you know, with our IP platform offering for L1 processing. So we kind of enable these players to really be able to compete with the big guys and to effectively join the race.
Ah, interesting. So you mentioned Open RAN. So what is Open RAN? What give us some perspectives and challenges, and is this the future of RAN?
Good question. So Open RAN is in fact the process of opening up the network by standardizing the interfaces between network elements. So if till now these were proprietary, and for example, Nokia could give you like all the components, the radio processing, the baseband processing, the core processing, all the interconnects between them were proprietary. Now, when you are able to specify and have an open specification for these interfaces, so that's where new players can join, new devices can be introduced into the market. This is for sure very much pushed by the MNOs, the operators, that today are kind of tied or captive by these proprietary vendors. So they very much want to diversify their supply chain. So I would say Open RAN is still in its infancy. You know, RAN technology is enormously complex. So it's not just developing the hardware and the software, it is the integration between all these components. And these incumbent vendors, they are significantly more mature and they currently they have full control of the market. But still, you know, there are current forecasts that estimate that maybe like 20% of market share for Open RAN by maybe a bit after the middle of the decade. So this is a big opportunity for new players, for various parts in the supply chain to be able to own their destiny and own their devices. But still, it's a long, long journey, but what it will be partially, you know, aided by what SIVA is doing by being able to really jumpstart new developments in this field and by offering complete platforms that our customers can start from and develop their own solutions.
Okay. First, let's talk a little bit about the SIVA legacy in cellular baseband and specifically in the baseband compute for infrastructure. Give some background here.
Okay, so SIVA is an IP company for more than three decades. We are active in a wide range of market segments, actually, from communications, where we also offer solutions for Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, UWB, and of course, cellular, also to what we call smart sensing, which is everything related to vision, audio, sensor fusion, and of course, AI, which is at the heart of all these technologies today. So SIVA is very well known historically to be a leading provider of DSPs. DSPs is digital signal processors These are the number cruncher processors for communications and signal processing and AI. But today, more and more, we offer much more than that, much more than DSPs. We offer complete platforms and subsystems that include not only DSPs, but also various other optimized computer engines and, of course, software. And the motivation of that is to offer more value to customers, reduce their time to market and the development risk. You know, today developing ASICs is a huge and costly undertaking. And specifically in cellular infrastructure, we have a long legacy of working with several of these tier one providers I've mentioned before. It's publicly known that we are that both Nokia and ZTE, they base their baseband ASICs on SIVA IP. So now with our new offerings that are complete platforms, we are able to serve not only the big guys, but also other emerging players.
So let's talk about Penta G-RAN. So what is it? And I'm, as I understand, you have both platform as IP for Penta G-RAN as well as a turnkey offering. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, Penta G-RAN is exactly what I mentioned, where we offer today much more than DSPs. Penta G-RAN is a complete, a heterogeneous compute platform for baseband processing. So, you know, baseband processing is the processing from the, let's say, the digitized RF signal along all the processing chain up to the point where you extract the information bit. So this platform includes, of course, DSPs, but also a wide range of accelerator engines. And these allow optimal hardware software partitioning. So practically, it enables each kind of a work of the workload to be processed on an optimal compute engine. So typically we map the main signal processing of the main signal chain to optimize the acceleration block. And our DSPs, they handle in software all the algorithms that require flexibility, like channel estimation, massive MIMO beamforming, and the like. So this platform is customizable for many use cases. You know, for in a cellular infrastructure, there are use cases for a baseband units, radio units, massive MIMO units, small cell units. So each of these use cases requires a different configuration or customization of the platform. And by achieving this optimal hardware software partitioning on the heterogeneous platform, that's what allows our customers to efficiently scale up the solution. Because, you know, when a customer today needs to process, let's say, 64 antennas, that's huge compute task. So if we use first the FPGAs or off-the-shelf, I don't know, x86. It will be very, very costly. It will involve many, many cores. So the way to scale up for these use cases is to have this optimal platform that uses various kinds of compute elements. So we offer this platform as a IP, and our customers can integrate that. This IP, soft IP, within their SoCs. And as you've mentioned, we also offer, and this is no less important, and specifically for these new players, we also offer what we call a co-creation partnership. So in this, we offer practically design services that can be completely turnkey. And so we can help our customers from the architecture phase up to the final GDS and the MPW samples. And this is very important for the new players in RAN, that they typically lack the skills and expertise to design their own ASIC solutions. And we are able to offer that. This is a step up for Siva. So Siva is well known for being an IT company, but now as we are able to offer complete solution, this is a step up. And we do that using our through our Intrinsix division. Intrinsix is an ASIC design service company we acquired a couple of years ago, based in the US, by the way.
Oh yeah, I remember. So can you give us a brief description of Penta G-RAN for base station and Penta G-RAN for massive MIMO radios?
Yeah, so these are mainly the two main configurations for the Penta G RAN platform. So the base station configuration is used for either a small cell base station or what is called a virtual DU or distributed unit. So today's basebands are becoming more and more complex, and most advanced architectures actually implement the complete baseband processing on the cloud or edge cloud on servers. So that's how you can virtualize the complete network. But if you do that, and that's the main trend today, you need extensive acceleration, because normal server CPUs cannot handle this kind of workloads. So that's where you can take our Penta G-RAN platform, customize it for being a virtual accelerator for a virtual baseband unit, and build your ASICs to support that. So that's one configuration for Penta G-RAN. Another is that for the massive MIMO radio. So these are the units that are typically mounted on top of the antennas and do today more and more significant part of the processing is done locally on the antenna top. This is actually to be able to reduce the huge amount of data from all the antennas. You cannot really transfer all this data effectively back to the cloud. So you need a very efficient processing element on the antenna, and you can do that, and you need to design a dedicated ASICs for that. And again, Penta G-RAN can be configured for this kind of processing, in which mainly it handles all the beamforming compute requirements for the multiple antenna elements.
Yeah, very interesting. So how do customers engage with Siva normally?
So typically, of course, they can contact us through our website. We have a local sales organization in almost every location, a big presence in the US and Europe, in Asia Pacific as well. What we typically do is we help our customers to benchmark their use case on our platform. This means that we need to map the customer's use case to, let's say, Penta G-RAN, and we, together with the customer, they know how many processing elements are required from each kind of a process, and that way we help our customers to architect the complete subsystem, which many of them don't really have the full expertise to do that themselves. That way we help them also to be less dependent on the big ASIC vendors that they are usually needed to work with.
You know, we've been working with SIVA on SemiWiki for more than 10 years now, and it's been a pleasure. And I really have a great respect for the company and your products. And I hope we can talk again sometime soon on different subjects.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.